As most of you know, it's not usually me that does any of the saving. I am joined today by my friend Heather, who some of you may know as Shouse in the House. Heather, I am so freaking excited for this episode today. I absolutely love your work. And I just want to talk to you about everything. And I know we're on a little bit of a time crunch. And you know, the first thing I always have people do when they come on the show is I always let you guys explain who you are and what it is that you do because I usually fuck it up. So please tell everyone listening what do we need to know about you, why, and yeah, let's just plug anything you want at the start of the show. We'll plug it again at the end.
Okay, so first of all, like I'm not anybody important. So whenever I do the same thing when I have guests on, I'm like, will you please just introduce yourself because I just don't want to mess it up.
So polite.
Okay, so like I'm mom, insurance agent by day, and then podcaster, writer, public dissident by night. Like that's pretty much like my I guess intro for myself.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. And the website is Shouse in the House. So it's the word house with an S at the beginning. That's correct, right? That's the best way to, for people to find you.
Yes,
And
shousethehouse.com. And then Twitter. That's like my two places where you can connect with me.
fantastic. Well, we've got to get you on Getter as well. And honestly, at
I
this
am on
point,
Getter. I
you
actually follow
are?
you on there.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to follow you back right now. Everyone go and follow both of us on Getter. And if you don't have the app, you've got to get it. And at this point, these guys have got to stop paying me for how much I plug them. But I guess the first thing that I really want to talk to you about today is your most recent article. It's on toxic femininity. And I tell you what, I think I've read it like three or four times at this point because it is one of the most succinct yet beautifully written discussions. It's almost like a soliloquy to what has become one of the most destructive aspects of, I think, modern life. I think you do such a brilliant job of sort of outlining how and why, you know, toxic femininity is dangerous and also is pretty hypocritical, really.
Oh, it's the most hypocritical. Like every time I see any woman talking about toxic masculinity, and I like honestly, I don't encounter toxic masculinity. Like every male encounter that I have is respectful, kind. I mean, and these women that get upset about catcalls, right? Like walking down the street where some guy whistles and says, "Hey, you're pretty," or whatever, and they're offended by that. And it's like, bitch, no, you aren't. You're gonna go home tonight and be like, "Oh, I look good. He said something," and then you're gonna go online and be like, "This man whistled at me, and how dare he?" And it's just like, what?
I'm in a group chat with Aubrey Huff, who I don't think you can find on any
I
platforms
love
now.
Aubrey. I hate that he's not on Twitter anymore.
I know he's in permanent Twitter jail. Do you know what's really funny? I actually recorded a really long episode with Aubrey, and he got banned from Twitter the same day. So that was fun. But you know, we sort of said to him on that episode, you know, one of the great ideas that we had for his Alpha American Apparel Company, which I'm also going to plug because it's great stuff, top quality, and just funny stuff. We said catcalls welcome, catcalls appreciated. I remember walking down the street in my hometown past a construction site and hearing the kind of whistles and the jeers. And honestly, the confidence that it gave me that day, I think I was probably working on the door of a nightclub or something. This is back in Wales at a wine street for all of our Welsh listeners. It was, you know, it was oddly empowering. And I agree that that kind of toxic femininity is it's really it's yeah, like you said, it's so hypocritical. And I'm glad that you don't run into too many or no toxic males. You clearly haven't spent that much time in California because you throw a rock and you hit one of them out there.
Well, I didn't say beta males. I said toxic males. So that's two different. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're so right. I hadn't thought about it like that. You're so right. Because I feel like at this point, or one of the points that you can bring up in the article is that idea that, you know, a toxic male, or the definition of one of the definitions of a toxic male is you treat weaker people, you know, you take power from like women and minority groups and all that kind of stuff.
And it specifically, like, this is a list that if you type in toxic masculinity on Google, this is the list that populates. Like, these are the things that are declaratively toxically masculine. And number 8 says using power over women. And then in like parentheses, it's got like weaker men and marginalized groups. And it's like, oh, so you're suggesting that there are beta males. You're admitting to the fact that there
are. But that differentiation is so key. It's so key. Yeah. Because I hadn't, you know, before we started recording today, I was trying to think, like, you know, it toxic masculinity just seems to be masculinity. Right. And, you know, what they're really describing is that kind of proclivity for many men to like put the kind of victim blame on themselves. And it comes from, yeah, that very like beta perspective. And, you know, who like, oh yeah, beta males. Oh, they're awful. They're as bad as toxic oh gosh, my words have fallen out of my mouth today. I've had too much coffee and I got a headache. I wonder why.
Did you drink last night, Kay?
Oh gosh, I wish. I was up doing the news till 9 o'clock with Joe Pags. Remember to tune into Joe Pags, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on most major, he's syndicated, so he's everywhere. But you know, I think the point in this piece that you really push in such an eloquent, and you know, you're a brilliant writer. And for everyone listening, please go read the article, because it's not only does it make a set of really good points, but it's wonderfully written.
I love really you so much. Please stop, because you're making me blush.
Oh, look at us. Oh, we're so nice to each other. Isn't it lovely?
Are you sure that you're Welsh? Like, you're being awfully friendly. No, you've been in America too long, Kay.
Well, you're not English. So, you know, like, we had Raheem Kassam on the show, was my last guest in one of our interviews yesterday, I think it was. And he's English. So I'm absolutely fucking horrible to him, because, you know, I have to be.
Lived in England for a while. I went to school over there, and the intercontinental rivalry amongst the English and the Welsh and the Scots and the Irish. And it's so funny to watch the conflict, but then you all are just this cohesive unit. It's just very interesting.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. So where did you go to school?
I went to Harlaxton in Grantham.
Oh, what? Grantham. Oh my gosh. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. How long were you out there for?
Almost a year.
Oh, so you really got to soak up that culture. And I think, you know, even people, like, especially all the people that I meet walking around my new neighborhood here in North Carolina, the ones who've told me they've even just been to London or Manchester or somewhere like that for a couple of days, I'm like, oh, so you get it then. Right. You know, it's like, we're all just like angry people looking for pints and Indian food. That pretty much defines British culture in this day and age. And, you know, the rivalries between us, you know, like, I mean, they really come out during rugby season. I think that's,
football season too for you guys.
Oh yeah. But I'm Welsh, so I don't really care about football. unless it's like Gareth Bale. And then I'm just like, yeah, go on, boys. But otherwise I'm all about the rugby.
I fucking love you so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at us. We're so nice. See, I always say, like, why can't we all just get along? And here we are along. So I think, you know, one of the things that you also touch upon in this last piece that you wrote was this kind of idea of the Karen. And I always get worried that I come across as a little bit of a Karen in my own writing. And, you know, I've got a bunch of stuff dropping over the next like week or so, and then hopefully into the future with the Daily Caller. And I'm just like, oh, this is like premier Karen. It's just me ranting and raving about I guess, you know, the pop culture or the news story of the moment. How do you kind of, because you don't come across as a Karen in this article. You really, you take on, I would say it's like a sort of best friend, but also quite a maternal voice while really making your point heard. So how did you kind of avoid that in your writing? Was that kind of something you did on purpose, or is that just naturally you and I've just got to sit back and accept that I'm not as good as you?
It's probably a combination of both. This article actually took me about 6 tries to write it the way that I wanted to, the way that I was almost just so angry by the time I wrote it that I just, it was kind of a vomit of consciousness, but I try really hard not to be a Karen. And I try to be a live and let live kind of person. But when I start to see this, like you mentioned earlier, that hypocrisy, right? Where you're saying one thing out of your mouth, but you're doing something completely different with your behavior. That's the thing that I take issue with. So I think that I guess maybe I could be perceived as a Karen, but it would be really hard to look at this and say, oh, you're no different, because I say that it's all bad, right? Like you're completely trying to be neutral in the situation. Yes, there are abusive men. Yes, there are men who suppress their emotions. There are men who exert power and authority over other individuals. But there are women who do the exact same thing. So it's really hard to try to like, no one can live in that glass house when they're throwing stones everywhere, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And one of the points that you bring up that I honestly wish I could talk about more. I don't talk about my personal relationships like ever really on the show, just because, firstly, like, who cares? But also, you know, just for the privacy of the people in my family and in my life. But you bring up this point of treating sex as competition, which was also in the list of traits of toxic males. Right. And as soon as I read that on the list, I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, like women do that all the time. Like the number of women I know who have these like, I'm not married, but I would, you know, it's definitely something that I hope to be. But the number of women that I know who are in these, you know, relationships, marriages, whatever, with wonderful men who don't have sex with them anymore. Right. I was just like, well, how do you expect that to sort of like last long term? Like, how do you, like, if you're not shagging your bloke, someone else will be. And that's not to say that, you know, all men cheat by any means, but you know, you also bring up that kind of entitlement that you know, it said like men like feel entitled to sex. That was one of the other points that you found when you Google, you know, what defines a toxic male. And I was like, I literally couldn't tell you a single man who does that. And, you know, I spend a lot more time with men. Anyone who listens to the show and probably follows me on social media can probably see that there's a lot of men who come on the show as guests, just because a lot of women, I think there's like a lot of interpersonal competition, things like that, that also play into what I would call toxic femininity. But the sex aspect, it was so refreshing for me to see another woman talk about it from that place of, you know, almost communication. Because you raise that point of, you know, if two people in a couple have had that talk about, okay, like, we're just not going to have sex anymore. And, you know, I'm sure there are couples who do that. I mean, I don't know any, but like, who would talk about that publicly? It's a very private issue. Right. But far more women are likely to use sex as that kind of control factor than men. Like, I don't know a single man who would even be capable of withholding sex. Right. I don't think that's a thing. Men, tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, it's biologically impossible for them to withhold their stuff. Like, they eventually have to one way or the other. So I'm sure that their means by which they would like to take care of that is probably with another human, if I were to wager a guess, especially one they're married to and live with.
Absolutely. And it just, it almost
breaks my heart. I'm trying to be tasteful about that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, don't worry. You'd never have to be tasteful on this show. I'm a complete troglodyte, so it's fine.
Well, if Braxton listens, I'll just get in trouble if I say the things that I normally
Braxton McCoy. I mean, let's maybe chat about Braxton for a minute, because he is the reason that you and I know each other. Yes. He is one of the greatest champions of women. He is a great friend. I feel so lucky. I can't even quite remember, I mean, probably through the Twitter world, but you know, what an alpha male Braxton really is. How did you meet Braxton?
The internet, actually. I read his book and I don't even remember how I got a hold of it, because it wasn't through him. I ended up with his book and I wrote a review on it, and then I shot him a message, and I had read it back to back twice in a row.
Wow.
And it just really impacted me. So I wrote a review and I sent it to him, and I was like, hey, just wanted to let you know that I know this is probably hard for you to write, but I'm really glad that you did it. And we've been friends ever since. It was just a relationship that bloomed from there.
That's so beautiful. Wow. That's so, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say organic. I think that's a little bit too frilly, but.
Oh, did I lose you?
Oh, can you hear me? I can hear you. Heather, can you hear me? We may have just lost Heather, but I'm not sure which book. Let me see. No, we've still got both participants. One sec. I'm just going to pause the recording here. Okay, so we had a very minor technical issue there, you know, because we're girls and we don't understand all of this stuff. We need men to help us with all of these things. As said in my hometown, I don't know who started this. I think it was someone that my dad worked with. But any time that something went wrong for women, or there was a job that a woman couldn't do, whoever that woman was had to shout at the top of her lungs, "Penis required!" And then a man has to come and fix everything. So we were chatting about Braxton McCoy, who is, again, fantastic writer, just one of the most heartfelt, kind, wonderful, honest people I've ever met. And then that translates so well into his work. I just received a copy of his book, is it The Glass Factory? And I'm so excited to dig into it. I have a bit of OCD, so I've got to finish. I'm reading Where the Crawdads Sing right now. And so once I wrap that up, which I don't think will be that long, it's another brilliant book, I will be inhaling Braxton's work. We were talking, I think I was talking probably too much about, it's hard to find people on the internet who aren't just out for themselves looking for that clickbait, you know, like, right. What's that horrible wench's name? Joy Reid. Oh God. Have you seen the shit?
Oh, she's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, on my Instagram, like my political, like my Shouse in the House Instagram account, I follow all of the right and left mainstream media voices just to like hear, you know, both sides of what's going on, to try to determine where is the middle of that and what's actually happening. But man, I don't know how she, like, you take Donald Trump off of the internet, not that I'm like a huge Trump fan, but you take him off of the internet completely. Like, you just completely wipe him out. And some of the shit that Joyanne Reed says, she just needs to have duct tape over her mouth.
Oh, absolutely. I could not agree more. And it's, you know, the thing that really upset me this week with her, talk about toxic femininity, but there's Nicki Minaj, but also this stuff with the Gabby Petito case. I don't know if you saw that, but you know, I was on with, I've been on with Joe Pags all week doing the news for him, and you know, Joy Reid's comments. One second, I think one of my cats is going to try and fuck everything up here. Wonky, I love you, but go away. But what Joy Reid's, he pointed out correctly that whilst Joy Reid had two spokespeople from various missing and murdered Indigenous women groups on her show to discuss the Gabby Petito case and the sort of media coverage of it, they didn't talk about any of the missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Right.
And again, hypocrisy at its finest. So, Yeah, it's just awful. Everyone's, go away, Kat, go away. I think it's really really wonderful that you follow people from both sides. Again, is that sort of something, like, have you always been fairly open-minded in that regard? I always try and ask people, usually towards the end of the show, with, you know, the more kind of obviously outspoken political types, you know, are you friends with people from the other side? So are you? And, you know, was that sort of how you were raised? We don't have to dig into your political anything unless you really want to, but, you know, I would sort of love to know, you know, I just want us all to be able to get along.
Yeah. It's funny that you asked that. And so I always kind of crack this joke all the time. So politically, I always joke because Facebook are people that you're friends with in real life, right? Like, those are the people that you grew up with and that have known you your whole life. But Twitter are people that you wish you knew in real life. Like, it's, you've curated this entire group of individuals that you actually like identify with. And then you go back to your Facebook and you're like, holy hell, how, why do you even like me? Like, why are we friends? So to answer your question, yes, I actually, my three closest friends, are all on the complete opposite side of the spectrum politically from me. So, it's hard sometimes, but I try really hard. When you ask me if I'm open-minded, I try really hard to be educated. It's not necessarily open-minded. I still have my core belief structure, my foundational principles that I will not, you know, let go of, but I'm still, I guess, open-minded to hearing other opinions and giving other people the ability to speak freely what they feel and what they think, because I do firmly believe in the right to free speech and expression. So, you know, I may not agree with you, but I still agree with your right to be able to say it, as do I believe I have the same rights.
Well, that's really beautiful and reminds me of a conversation that I had with Carl Higbee from Newsmax. I believe that if you go back in the, not right now, listeners, like, keep listening to this episode, but after this episode, definitely go back and listen to the show I did with Carl Higbee, because he brought up the point that right now it's predominantly people on the right side of the spectrum, or political spectrum, who support exactly what you just said, this sort of the right for anyone to think and feel anything that they want, you know, as long as it obviously doesn't infringe upon the rights of others and the safety of others. And that's something that I've sort of always tried to live by. Like, I love being able to disagree with the people that I love. And part of being Welsh is, you know, we drink and we argue about things. That's what we do pretty much every day. And, you know, my whole family is on the opposite side of the political spectrum to me, and we all get along great. We probably get along better now than we did when I was sort of a screaming liberal teenager, when I agreed with pretty much everything that they said. And you know, it took moving to America for me to sort of really evolve my mindset politically. And, you know, I still maintain deep friendships with people on all sides of the political spectrum, even the people who don't give a toss about politics, who I do often find to be the most refreshing.
Right.
I think it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, or the trend seems to be right now, that people on the more left-leaning side of the spectrum are going to that place of like, no, we've got to evolve your mindset so you agree with us. And it's like, well, that's not really the point. Like, that wasn't how, like, I don't know if it was the West Wing or what, when that shift happens. Well, you've, so you obviously are an American, duh. Do you recall when this kind of divergence really started to occur? Because I only moved out here in any meaningful way in sort of 2015, 2016. So I was wrapped up in the whole sort of Trump-Clinton election when things really started to divide. Do you, was it prior to that, or was that really the kind of clincher?
Gosh, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer. Like, I don't know where if there was this defining moment where people really just wanted to start sucking the government's dick. Like, it's literally like people woke up one day and were like, you know what? Daddy government is going to take care of me. And we want that. Like it somewhere, somehow there was a shift in the American mentality. And it makes me really, really sad to see this shirking of personal responsibility and intentionally. And now we're moving into it's almost like a collective group of individuals utilizing government force to get others to submit to their desires. Right. So,
yeah.
You have, and the vaccine mandate is obviously like the most prevalent thing that could illustrate that. But you have people that are like, you want to kill my grandma if you don't get the shot. And it's like, I don't even fucking know your grandma. Like, let's be real about this. Right. Like my doctor told me, hey, based on your medical history, I don't think it's a good idea for you right now. Let's see some more research. Let's see what Novavax looks like. Let's just chill for a little bit. I just got over COVID 3 weeks ago, but I'm trying to kill everybody's fucking grandma. And I'm like, no, that isn't, the government should tell you, you can't work. You people are insane. Like, I don't know. So to answer your question, I don't know the answer. I don't know where it happened or how it happened, but I do think that there is hope. And I say that with the biggest white pill that I can possibly swallow. I'm on the upper echelon of the millennial generation. I'm 38 years old. And anybody that was born after me, I don't know what the fuck happened to those people, but something happened. And then there's this, I guess, Gen Z group that's coming up behind them. And it's like, there's this little segment of the population in between that has the biggest, it's like the weakest minds have the loudest voice right now. I would be really interested to see that shift, because you have a whole large group of Gen Zers behind that I think are more, you know, 1776 revolutionaries. Like, they're like, wait a minute, fuck this. Like, I didn't turn 18 for the government to now tell me what to do with my life, right? I'm just now leaving my parents, and now you're telling me I got to listen to somebody else? Like, I think you're going to see that small-minded group of individuals become very quiet if they're not careful.
You just touched on something that has triggered this sort of like the sociologist in me. And I hate when people tell me that sociology isn't a science, because, you know,
qualitative research. That's what my degree's in. So,
yeah. That's why we get along so well. You know, I did a geography degree, which, you know, all my American friends are just like, what the fuck is a geography degree? And I'm like, it's basically the degree you do when you don't know what degree you want to do.
Right.
And sort of same. A running, yeah. Sort of a running joke that if you go into a geography degree as a physical geographer, you qualify as a human geographer and the other way around. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, I went in being like, I fucking love volcanoes. And then came out being like, oh my God, I fucking love macro psychosocial trending. And trend forecasting. But you just kind of piqued my sort of, yeah, like the sociologist brain there. Because I've been watching all of these chants coming out of football stadiums. It's not just football stadiums. It's pretty much anywhere that there's a big crowd right now screaming the sort of fuck Joe Biden, which I think is absolutely hysterical.
I know. And it's great. Like, I've seen the mashups where it's like all the different universities across the country where they're all chanting it independently of one another. It's so great.
And it's all different types of sort of blue and red city and state universities who are really perpetuating it. And that, you're right, that gives me a huge amount of hope. I hadn't looked at it in that way. I'd sort of been looking at it from like the journalist perspective of just like, oh, this is funny, people will click on this. when really I should have been looking at it from oh, thank goodness. Oh, are we nearly through this now? Even though we're only like less than a year into this presidency.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
I know. Can you believe we have 3 years left?
I don't know that we do. But
fair point, fair point. Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, like United Airlines, I read an article yesterday, again, on PAG's show, you know, the employees are suing United for infringement of their civil right, you know, over this vaccine mandate, which I think, you know, and I said to many people when all these mandates started coming down, all like the people who were like, I'm too scared to get the vaccine. And like you, I was told, you know, I have a thing where I might have like a clot. Everyone in my family dies of like aneurysm, strokes, and like heart attacks. So there's a lot of clotting issues. Like a lot of people in my family died a lot of people in my family died before they should have from these disorders, before we sort of realized, you know, modern medical marvels like you know, quadruple bypass surgery and shit like that. Right. And so I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna try and pop out a couple of kids. If I survive that and, you know, 5-6 years has passed, then yeah, whatever. I've never had a flu vaccine, and I only had the flu once. I did nearly die of it, but that's because it turned into strep throat. But it really, what I said to everyone was, you know, just take a beat, because someone will set a precedent, someone will create this sort of like legal structures and the case law, and there will be enough. Wonky, stop trying to ruin my podcast. Sorry, he's trying to like climb inside of the computer. You have food, you have water. I'll give you a cuddle in a minute. I kept saying to people, you know, wait for this sort of case law to pass and then the businesses will back off. You know, the fact that the government isn't enforcing vaccine mandates on its own employees for the most part, I think is, you know, again, just going to really play into the hands of the people standing up and saying, no, this is an infringement on our human rights. So who knows?
Yeah, if I worked for one of those organizations, the very first thing I would have done the next day, if you told me you were going to mandate this, I would have consulted with a friend or even an attorney, you know, pay a 1-hour fee or whatever to sit down. And I would have walked into my human resources the next morning and I would have had dollar amounts for every single thing that I could see that could go wrong and say, I am holding you legally responsible. Should any of the following occur, you have to sign this and say you will pay me this amount of money.
Oh, I love that. That is fantastic.
And
that's
then
so fair.
I bet real quick you'd start seeing some human resources departments say, okay, you're fired. Under what grounds, right? Like, okay, you're an at-will state. That's fine. But if you're not going to take legal responsibility for forcing something upon someone else, then what grounds do you have to mandate it?
Exactly. Oh, that's, see, you're brilliant. You're a bloody genius. You should be president. you know, and then we'll get Braxton to be VP, because that's actually a significant role now, I think. It didn't used to be, but that was when...
Oh, it's not a significant role. I mean, look at Kamala. She's investigating the administration for their handling of the border, and she's the one who's in charge of it.
She's awful. Yeah, another Karen, toxic feminist. I know. I think my favorite thing about Kamala, whatever, however you pronounce it, you know, she couldn't win a single vote when she was running for president herself, not even in her own state,
right?
Which was just absolutely hysterical. Anyway, not to dive.
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Just because I think we could go on about it all day. Which I mean isn't a bad idea. But it'd certainly be more fun than all the bloody writing and fixing and things that I had to do otherwise. But I think, you know, just because we're running a little bit short on time today, and, you know, like I said, this is not going to be the first or the last show that we do together. I think you're a bloody genius. And I always say, women who make it easier to be taken seriously as a woman, those are the ones that I want to push. Those are the ones that I want to perpetuate. And, you know, Heather, you really define that. I think you really make it easier for women to be taken seriously as a woman. And, you know, that comes across not only in your writing, but the way that you approach your life, like just from the little I know you as, you know, especially like you called yourself an elder millennial, but I've seen pictures of you. You look younger than me. But I think it's so inspiring to see someone who not only has, you know, a family, but also has a quote unquote proper job. I've only think I've had like three of those ever. But also takes the time to put such articulate analysis into that kind of written and verbal format for other people to digest. And that gives me a lot of hope as well, because I think the more people who read your work, see it, especially young women, hopefully this sort of emerging Gen Z can avoid the indoctrination of, you know, TikTok and all those other very insidious things that we have now in the modern world that make it harder to be taken seriously as a woman. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen libs of TikTok. Have you seen...
Okay, so we have a legal counsel in the office, and he came in and he goes, "Have you seen this before?" He's super boomer. And then he goes, "Have you ever heard of this before? These are people who are out here making shit up." And it was like all the different like gender bending things that are out there, like the amsexual, or I don't even know anymore. And so then I have a boomer in my office like, "Hey, have you seen this site before?" And it was libs of TikTok.
I mean, it's one of the most, like, I tell you what, I watch libs of TikTok before I make all of my videos for America Uncensored and The Daily Caller, just because it is the easiest way for me to really just set myself off down that kind of ranty, angry path where I just see myself becoming more and more and more of an extremist. And like, I saw one the other day, and it was of this woman, and she was just like, "So I'm," and then invents this word, "and that means that I'm attracted to women, but I'm really attracted to their personality." And I was like, "So you're a lesbian sapiosexual? Cool. I'm a straight sapiosexual. Like, you give me the most good looking man in the world, and if he's thick as pig shit, I'm just going to be like, ew. You give me, you know, a man who is, you know, aesthetically probably not everyone's cup of tea, and he makes me laugh and he makes me think, and I'm just like, oh, stick a fork in me. Hello, daddy." But you know, that's me. Yeah. So everyone go and check out libs of TikTok if you want to get really angry today. But I've got to ask, what else are you working on? What else can we expect from Shaus in the House? And yeah, what else is making you think at the moment, so we can all have a good think as well after listening?
I have an episode that I am releasing tomorrow, which I don't know when you'll get this out, but I have an episode I'm releasing tomorrow with a gentleman that I spoke to. His name is Wayne Cunnington, and he is actually in England. He's in just north of London. He has permanent brain damage from receiving the vaccination. Oh. And so with a significant amount of self-censorship so that it can remain online, I'm really proud of that interview, because I feel like there's not enough people being given the opportunity to express the issues that they're having. You're being told, "Oh, it might be painful. Oh, you'll be okay. You know, just take it." And there are some pretty severe adverse effects from this. So I'm proud of that episode. And then I'm working on a piece right now, and it's, again, just like this last one, it's taking me forever to write because I'm OCD about it, but I'm declaring myself publicly an extremist. I read Joe Biden's, hang on, I have it here next to me just so I don't name it incorrectly, his national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. So I'm apparently, according to this list, a domestic terrorist. So I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there so the FBI can put me on their watch list, and we can go ahead and get this dance started with one another.
Fantastic. Oh, I can't wait to read it. I really, really can't. It just sounds so fantastic. And you know, I stress to everyone, please go Google shoutsinthehouse.com. It'll counter anything that you see on libs of TikTok. It'll give you that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling inside to know that you are not alone, that there are sensible women out there. You know, I'm not a sensible woman, but I've got a nice accent, so people listen to me out here, which I find hilarious. But Heather, this is just, you know, I started out this week, and this episode is actually going to go out on the same day it's recorded, which is, you know, okay, not common for me. I usually fuck everything up and have to start and do all these clicky whatevers. But you know, I started out this week, I'm starting to become more open about like the ups and downs of depression. And, you know, the start of this week was an absolute like kick in the head. Like I just woke up and I was like, I don't like anything.
Yeah.
Which is probably like a nice way of putting it. But every time I'm open and I talk about those kinds of ups and downs, I will say it is this incredible community. And there's the one upside to the internet, I think. It's this incredible community that I've managed to form through these social media channels, through these sort of like wish list people. I'm just going to say getter because I don't want to promote the others. It's really you guys that make it better for me. So, you know, anyone out there who's listening, who needs, you know, maybe a little bit of a pick me up, I cannot stress enough, go and follow Heather's, all of her social media channels. They're all at Shouse in the House. So it's House with an
S. Actually, hold on. My social media is at Shouse 34 because Shouse in the House doesn't fit. So I had to use my old. So it's Shouse 34 are my ats everywhere.
Okay. I'm going to also put them in the description so I don't fuck it up again. I apologize.
No, don't say sorry. My website is shouseinthehouse.com, but like my social media is shouse34.
Perfect. Shouse34. Honestly, I got to give a huge shout out to Braxton. This episode is really just thank both of you. Thank you, Braxton, for the introduction. And Heather, like I said, let's do this again next week if you're available. This Absolutely. Is just so much fun. And I cannot wait to learn about how you're an extremist.
Yeah, I'll try to have it finished by the end of the weekend so we can talk about it next week.
Don't put any pressure on yourself. I'm a writer too. That's really all I do is
no, I need write. Pressure. I operate much better when I like have an expectation of it being finished. So,
oh, good for you. See, every time I set a deadline for myself, I'm like there 2 weeks later, just like, fuck, I ruined it. I didn't do any of the things I said I was going to do, except for the videos, because it's all clicking and whatever, which I quite like. I find it rather therapeutic. But anyway, I'm wittering at this point. Heather, thank you so much. This was so great. Anything else that we can plug before we sign off today?
Nope, that's it. Just go follow me there and we'll hang out and be friends.
Oh, I love you to pieces. I'm sure.
You too. Thank you so much, Kate. And thank you too, Braxton. I want to say that as well before it ends that you made this introduction. I'm really excited about this.
Me too. Oh, don't. I'm going to start crying in a minute. I've been crying through misery and joy. Like started out with misery at the start of the week, became joy pretty quickly after that. So thank you as well. And then to everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Please go and listen to, we've got previous episodes, like I mentioned, with Carl Higbee. I think he's a really interesting guy. We had Raheem Kassam on the show yesterday. He's English, so I don't even want to listen to him. But Braxton, we have a great show with Braxton. And Heather and I are going to be tuning in here, hopefully more often than not. So if there's anything that you'd like to hear from us in the future, be sure to subscribe to the Patreon or just send me a message on Patreon. I think those are the only ones that I check at this point. I don't think you have to be a subscriber to send me a message. With any future content you'd like to hear, any questions you might have, trying to get as engaged as possible with the followers so we can all, you know, we can all just get along. So thanks for tuning in. Love you lots, Heather. We'll speak soon.
All right. Thanks, love. Goodbye.
Bye.